Part II of Electra by Sophocles. Translated by Francis Storr, 1839-1919. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. Part II. Clytemnestra. So once again I find thee here at large, for he who kept thee close and so restrained thy scandalous tongue, Aegisthus, is away. Yet thy complaints repeated many a time to many censured my tyrannic rule, the insults that I heaped on thee and thine. Was it an insult if I paid in kind the flouts and taunts wherewith thou girdest at me? Thy father, the sole pretext of thy grief, died by my hand. Aye, mine. I know it well. 'Tis true beyond denial. Yet not I alone, but justice slew him too. And thou shouldst side with justice, wert thou wise. This sire of thine, for whom thy tears still flow, alone of all the Greeks could steel his heart to yield thy sister as a sacrifice. A father who begat her and ne'er felt a mother's pangs of travail. Tell me now wherefore he offered her, on whose behalf? The Greeks, thou sayest, and what right had they to kill my child? For Menelaus' sake, his brother? Should such pretext stay my hand? Had not his brother children twain to serve as victims? Should not they, as born of sire and mother, for whose sake the host embarked, have been preferred before my innocent child? Had death forsooth some craving for my child rather than hers? Or had the wretch her sire a tender heart from Menelaus' brood, and for my flesh and blood no tenderness? That choice was for a father rash and base. So though I differ from thee, I opine, and could the dead maid speak, she would agree. I therefore view the past without remorse. And if to thee I seem perverted, clear thy judgment ere thou makest thyself a judge. Electra. This time thou canst not say that I began the quarrel or provoked thee. But if thou wilt give me leave, I fain would speak the truth regarding both my sister and my sire. Clytemnestra. My leave is given, and, hadst thou always shown this temper, I had listened without pain. Electra. Hear then. Thou sayst I slew thy father. Who could well avow a blacker crime than that? Justly or not, what matters? But I'll prove there was no justice in it. 'Twas the lure of a vile wretch that hurried thee along, thy lovers. Ask the huntress Artemis for what offence she prisoned every gust that blows at Aulis. Rather, as from her thou mayst not win an answer, I will tell thee. My father once, so have I heard the tale, taking his pleasure in her sacred glade, started an antlered stag with dappled hide, shot it, and shooting made some careless vaunt. Latona's daughter, wroth thereat, detained the Achaeans, that in quittance for her heart my sire might give his daughter life for life. And so it came to pass that she was slain. The fleet becalmed, no other way could win homeward or Troyward. For that cause alone, reluctantly, by hard constraint, at last he slew her, nowise for his brother's sake. But if, as thou interpretest the deed, 'twas done to please his brother, even thus should he for that have died by hand of thine? What law is this? In laying down such law, see that against thyself thou lay not up dire retribution. For if blood for blood be justice, thou wouldst justly die the first. Look, if thy pleading be not all a lie, say, if thou wilt, why thou art living now a life of shame as partner of his bed, the wretch who aided thee to slay my sire, bearing him children, casting out for them the rightful heirs and rightful wedlock born. Can I approve such acts? Admit that this too, was vengeance for a daughter's blood? A shameful plea, if urged, for shame it is to wed a foeman for a daughter's sake. But in convincing thee I waste my breath. Thou hast no answer but to scream that I revile a mother. And in sooth to us thou art mistress more than mother, for I pine a wretched drudge, by thee and by thy mate downtrodden, and that other child who scarce escaped thy hands, Orestes, wears away in weary exile his unhappy days. Oft hast thou taxed me that I reared him up for vengeance. So I willed it, had I power. Go to, proclaim me out of my own mouth a shrew, a scold, a vixen, what thou wilt. For if I be accomplished in such arts, methinks I show my breed, a trick of the blood. Chorus. I see she breathes forth fury, and no more heeds if her words with justice harmonize. Clytemnestra. Why then should I heed one who thus insults a mother at her ripe age too? Dost think that she would stick at any deed of shame? Electra. Nay, I am shamefast, though to thee I seem shameless. I know such manners in a maid are ill-becoming, in a daughter strange. But thy malignity, thy cruel acts compel me. Baseness is from baseness learnt. Clytemnestra. Thou brazen monster! I, my words, my acts are matter for thy glib garrulity. Electra. The fault is thine, not mine. For thine the acts, and mine are but the words that show them forth. Clytemnestra. Now, by our lady Artemis, thou shalt rue thy boldness when Aegisthus comes again. Electra. See, rage distracts thee. First thou grantest me free speech, and will not listen when I speak. Clytemnestra. I let thee have thy say, and wilt not thou hush thy wild tongue, and let me sacrifice? Electra. Go, I adjure thee, sacrifice, nor blame my voice. Henceforth I shall not speak one word. Clytemnestra. Bear this, my maid, this offering of earth's fruits, that to our king I may uplift my prayers, to rid me of the dread that haunts my soul. O Phoebus, our defender, lend an ear to my petition. Dark and veiled the words for those who love me not, nor were it meet to lay my whole heart bare, while she is by, ready to blab with her envenomed tongue through all the town some empty, rash report. Darkly, I pray, to my dark prayer attend. The vision that I yesternight beheld of double import, if Lycian king, it bodes me well, fulfill it. But if ill, may it upon my enemies recoil. If there be some who treacherously plot to dispossess me of my wealth and power, prevent them, and vouchsafe that I may rule the house of Atreus in security, and wield the scepter, sharing prosperous days with the same friends and with my children, those by malice and blind rancor not estranged. Grant, O Lycian Phoebus, of thy grace, to me in mind fulfillment of my prayers. And for those other things my heart desires, though unexpressed, thou as a god dost know them. For naught is hidden from the sons of Zeus. Aged servant. Good ladies, might a stranger crave to learn if this indeed be King Aegisthus' house? Chorus. It is, sir. Thou thyself hast guessed aright. Aged servant. And am I right, conjecturing that I see his royal consort here? She looks a queen. Chorus. Indeed, thou art in presence of the queen. Aged servant. I greet thee, madam, and I bear to thee fair news, and to Aegisthus from a friend. Clytemnestra. I welcome thy fair words, but first would know who sends thee. Aged servant. Phanoteus the Phocian on a grave mission. Clytemnestra. Tell me, stranger, what? It must be friendly coming from a friend. Aged servant. Orestes' death, to sum in brief my tale. Electra. Me miserable, now am I undone. Clytemnestra. What say'st thou, man? What say'st thou? Heed not her. Aged servant. I say again, Orestes is no more. Electra. Ah me, I'm lost. Ah wretched me, undone. Clytemnestra. Attend to thine own business. To aged servant. Tell me, sir, the circumstance and manner of his death. Aged servant. That was my errand, and I'll tell thee all. To the great festival of Greece he went, the Delphic games, and when the herald's voice announced the opening trial, the foot race, he stepped into the lists, a radiant form, the admired of all beholders. Like a shaft he sped from starting point to goal and back, and bore the crown of glorious victory. To speak in brief where there is much to tell, I never heard of prowess like to his. This much I'll add, the judges of the games announced no single contest wherein he was not the victor, and each time glad shouts hailed the award. And Argive wins, Orestes, the son of Agamemnon, king of men, who led the hosts of Hellas. So he sped. But when some angry godhead intervenes, the mightiest man is foiled. Another day, when at sunsetting chariots vied in speed, he entered. Many were the charioteers. From Sparta one, and one Achaean, two from Libya, skilled to guide the yoked team. The fifth in rank, with mares of Thessaly, Orestes came, and an Aeolian sixth, with chestnut fillies, a Megarian seventh, the eighth with milk-white steeds, an Aenian, the ninth from Athens, city built by gods. Last a Boeothian made the field of ten. Then, as the appointed umpires signed to each by lot his place, they ranged their chariots, and at the trumpet's brazen signal all started, all shook the reins and urged their steeds with shouts. The whole plain echoed with a din of rattling cars, and the dust rose to heaven. They drave together all in narrow space, and plied their goads, each keen to leave behind the press of whirling wheels and snorting steeds. For each man saw his car beflecked with foam, or felt the courser's hot breath at his back. Orestes, as he rounded either goal, steered close and shaved the pillar with his nave, urging his offside trace horse while he checked the nearer. For a while they all sped on unscathed, but soon the Aenian's hard-mouthed steeds bolted, and twixt the sixth and seventh round, gainst the Barcaean chariot headlong dashed. Then, on that first mishap, there followed close shock upon shock, crash upon crash, that strewed with rack of cars all the Crisaean plain. This the shrewd charioteer of Athens marked, slackened and drew aside, letting go by the surge of chariots running in mid-course. Last came Orestes, who had curbed his team, he trusted to the finish, but at sight of the Athenian, his one rival left, with a shrill hollo in his horse's ears, he followed, and the two abreast raced on, now one and now the other, ahead in front. Thus far Orestes, ill-starred youth, had steered steadfast at every lap his steadfast team. But at the last, in turning, all too soon he loosed the left-hand rein, and ere he knew it, the axle struck against the pillar's edge. The axle box was shattered, and himself hurled o'er the chariot rail, and in his fall, caught in the rein's grip, he was dragged along, while his scared team dashed wildly o'er the course. But as the crowd beheld his overthrow, there rose a wail of pity for the youth. His doughty deeds and his disastrous end, now flung to earth, now bounding to the sky feet uppermost, at length the charioteers stayed in their wild career his steeds, and freed the corpse all blood-bestained, disfigured, marred past recognition of his nearest friend. Straightway the Phocians burnt him on a pyre, and envoys now are on their way to bring that mighty frame shut in a little urn, and lay his ashes in his fatherland. Such is my tale, right piteous to tell. But for all those who saw it with their eyes, as I, there never was a sadder sight. Chorus. Alas, alas, our ancient master's line, so it appears, hath perished root and branch. Clytemnestra. Are these glad tidings? Rather would I say sad, but of profit. Ah, how hard my lot when I must look for safety to my losses. Aged servant. Why, lady, why downhearted at my news? Clytemnestra. Strange is the force of motherhood. A mother, whate'er her wrong, can ne'er forget her child. Aged servant. So it would seem our coming was in vain. Clytemnestra. Nay, not in vain. How canst thou say in vain, if of his death thou bring'st convincing proof, who from my life drew life, and yet estranged, forgat the breast that suckled him, forgat a mother's tender nurture, fled his home, and since that day has never seen me more. Slandered me as the murderer of his sire, and breathed forth vengeance. Neither night nor day kind slumber closed these eyes, and imminent dread of death each minute stretched me on the rack. But now on this glad day, of terror rid from him and her, a deadlier plague than he, that vampire who was housed with me to drain my very life-blood. Now, despite her threats, methinks that I shall pass my days in peace. Electra. Ah, woe is me! Now verily may I mourn thy fate, Orestes, when thou farest thus, mocked by thy mother in death. Is it not well? Clytemnestra Not well with thee, but it is well with him. Electra Hear her, avenging spirit of the dead, whose ashes still are warm. Clytemnestra The avenger heard when it behooved her, and hath ruled it well. Electra This is thine hour of victory. Mock on. Clytemnestra Thou and Orestes, then, should silence me. Electra We silence thee? We who are silent both? Clytemnestra Thy coming, sir, would merit large reward, if thou indeed hast stopped her wagging tongue. Aged servant, then I may take my leave, if all is well. Clytemnestra Not so. Such entertainment would reflect on me and on thy master, my ally. Be pleased to enter. Leave this girl without to wail her friend's misfortunes and her own. Exeunt Clytemnestra, an aged servant. Electra Seems she to you a mother woe-begone, weeping and wailing for a son thus slain, this miserable woman? No, she left us with mocking laughter. Dearest brother mine, thy death was my death-warrant. Woe is me! With thee has gone my last fond hope, that thou wast living yet and wouldst return some day to avenge my sire and me, unhappy me. Now whither shall I turn, alone, bereft of thee and of my sire? Henceforth again must I be slave to those I most abhor, my father's murderers? Is it not well with me? No, never will I cross their threshold more, but at these gates will lay me down to die, there pine away. If any in the house think me an eyesore, let him slay me. Life to me were misery, and death a boon. Chorus Where, O Zeus, are thy bolts? O sun-god, where is thy ray? If with thy lightning, thy light, these things be not shown to the day. Electra Ah me! Ah me! Chorus Daughter, why weepest thou? Electra Woe! Chorus Hush, no rash cry. Electra Thou'll be my death. Chorus What meanest thou? Electra, if ye would whisper hope that they we know for dead may be alive, ye trample on a bleeding heart. Chorus, nay, I bethink me how the Argive seer was swallowed up, snared by a woman for a golden chain, and now in the nether world. Electra, ah me! Chorus, a living soul he reigns. Electra, ah woe! Chorus, aye woe for the murderess. Electra was slain. Chorus I slain. Electra I know, I know. A champion was raised up to avenge the mourning ghost. No champion for me. The one yet left is taken, reft away. Chorus A weary, weary lot is thine. Electra I know it well, too well. When life, month in month out, like a dark torrent flows, horror on horror, pain on pain. Chorus, we have watched its tearful course. Electra, cease then to turn it where? Chorus, what wouldst thou say? Electra, no comforts left of hope from him of royal blood, sprung from one stock with me. Chorus, death is the common lot. Electra, to die as he died, hapless youth? Entangled in the reins beneath the tramp of coursers' hoofs? Chorus, torture ineffable. Electra, yea, in a strange land far away. Chorus, alas! Electra, to lie untended by my hands, unwept, ungraced with sepulture by me. Enter Chrysothemis. Chrysothemis, joy, dearest sister, sped me hitherward, and haply with unseemly haste I ran to bring the joyful tidings and relief from all thy woes and weary sufferings. Electra, and where canst thou have found a remedy for irremediable woes like mine? Chrysothemis, Orestes, hear it from my lips, is here, in bodily presence as thou seest me now. Electra, Art mad, poor sister, making mockery of thine own misery and mine withal? Chrysothemis. I mock not. By our father's hearth I swear it. In very truth we have him here again. Electra. O misery! And prithee, from whose mouth hast thou this tale so blindly credited? Chrysothemis. I trusted to none other than myself, the clearest proof and evidence of my eyes. Electra. What proof, what evidence, what sight, poor girl, lit this illusion in thy fevered brain? Chrysothemis. Oh, as thou lov'st me, listen, then decide, my story told, if I am mad or sane. Electra. Well, if it pleases thee to speak, speak on. Chrysothemis. I will, and tell thee all that I have seen. As I approached our sire's ancestral tomb, I noted that the barrow still was wet with streams of milk, and round the monument garlands were wreathed of every flower that blows. I marveled much and peered around in dread of someone watching me, but when I found that nothing stirred, nearer the tomb I crept, and there upon the grave's edge lay a lock of hair fresh severed. At the sight there flashed a dear familiar image on my soul, Orestes. 'Twas a token and a sign from him whom most of all the world I love. I took it in my hands, and not a sound I uttered, but my eyes o'erbrimmed for joy. I knew it then as now, for sure, this shining treasure could be none but his. Who else could set it there save thee or me? And 'twas not I assuredly, nor thou. How couldst thou, when thou mayst not leave the house, not e'en to sacrifice? Our mother, then? When did our mother's heart that way incline? Could she have escaped our notice had she done it? No, from Orestes comes this offering. Courage, dear sister! Never destiny ran one unbroken course. On us till now she frowned. Today gives promise of her smiles. Electra. Alas, I pity thy simplicity, fond sister. Chrysothemis. Are not then my tidings glad? Electra. Thou know'st not in what land of dreams thou art. Chrysothemis. Wouldst have me doubt the evidence of my eyes? Electra. He is dead, I tell thee. Look not to the dead for a deliverer. That hope has gone. Chrysothemis. Ah, woe is me! Who told thee of his death? Electra. One who was present when he met his fate. Chrysothemis. Where is the man? 'Tis strange, 'tis passing strange. Electra. Within, our mother's not unwelcome guest. Chrysothemis. Ah me, ah me! And whose then can have been these wreaths that milk outpoured upon the grave? Electra. To me it seems most like that they were brought a kindly offering to Orestes dead. Chrysothemis. And I, poor fool, was hurrying in hot haste to bring my joyful message unaware of our ill plight, and now that I have brought it, I find fresh sorrows added to the old. Electra. So stands the case, but be advised by me and lighten this the burden of our woes. Chrysothemis. Wouldst have me raise the dead to life again? Electra. I meant not that. I am not so demented. Chrysothemis. What wouldst thou then that lies within my powers? Electra. Be bold to execute what I enjoin. Chrysothemis. If it can profit, I will not refuse. Electra. Success, remember, is the meed of toil. Chrysothemis. I know it, and will help thee all I can. Electra. Then listen how I am resolved to act. From friends thou knowest now as well as I, we cannot look for succor. Death hath snatched all from us, and we two are left alone. While yet my brother lived, and tidings came of his prosperity, I still had hopes that he would yet appear to avenge his sire. But now that he is dead, to thee I turn. From thee a sister craves a sister's aid. To slay, shrink not, our father's murderer, Aegisthus. There I plainly tell thee all. Why hesitate? What faintest ray of hope is left to excuse thy lethargy, whose lot henceforth must be to mourn the ancestral wealth whereof thou art defrauded, to lament a youth that withers fast, unloved, unwed, For dream not wedded bliss can e'er be thine. Too wary is Aegisthus to permit That children should be born of thee or me For his destruction. But if thou attend My counsel, thou shalt reap large benefits, First from our dead sire, and our brother too, A name for piety. And furthermore, A freeborn woman thou shalt stand revealed, And worthy spousals shall be thine, For worth in women ever captivates all men. Seest thou not too the honour thou shalt win Both for thyself and me, if thou consent? What countryman, what stranger will not greet Our presence when he sees us with acclaim? Look, friends, upon this sister pair, he'll cry, Who raised their father's house, who dared confront Their foes in power, who jeopardized their lives In bloody vengeance. Honour to the pair, honour and worship! Yea, at every feast let all the people laud their bravery. So will our fame be bruited far and wide, nor shall our glory fail in life or death. Sweet sister, hear me, take thy father's part, side with thy brother, give thyself surcease of sorrow, and remember this, a life of shame is shame for noble souls. Chorus. Forethought for those that speak and those that hear in such grave issues is most serviceable. Chrysothemis. Before she spake, were not her mind perverse? She had remembered caution, but she, friends, remembers not. To Electra. What glamour fooled thee thus, to take up arms thus boldly and enlist me? Thou art a woman, seest thou not? No man, no match in battle for thine adversaries. Their fortune rises with the flowing tide. Ours ebbs and leaves us soon a stranded hulk. Who then could hope to grapple with a foe so mighty and escape without a fall? Bethink thee, if thy speech were overheard, we are like to change our evil plight for worse. Small comfort or commodity to win glory and die an ignominious death. Mere death were easy, but to crave for death and be denied that last boon, there's the sting. Nay, I entreat, before we wreck ourselves and perish root and branch, restrain thy rage. All thou hast said for me shall be unsaid, an empty breath. Oh, learn at length, though late, to yield, nor match thy weakness with their strength. Chorus. Hearken, for mortal man there is no gift greater than forethought and sobriety. Electra. 'Tis as I thought. Before thy answer came, I knew full well thou wouldst refuse thine aid. Unaided then, and by myself I'll do it, for done it must be, though I work alone. Chrysothemis. Ah, well away! Would thou hadst been so minded on that day our father died. What couldst thou not have wrought? Electra. My temper was the same, my mind less ripe. Chrysothemis. Study to keep the same mind all thy days. Electra. This counsel means refusal of thine aid. Chrysothemis. Yes, for misfortune dogs such enterprise. Electra. I praise thy prudence, hate thy cowardice. Chrysothemis. E'en when thou shalt commend me, I will bear thy commendation no less patiently. Electra. That trial thou wilt ne'er endure from me. Chrysothemis. Who lives will see. Time yet may prove thee wrong. Electra. Be gone. In thee there is no power to aid. Chrysothemis. Not so. In thee there is no will to learn. Electra. Go to thy mother. Tell it all to her. Chrysothemis. My hatred of thee does not reach so far. Electra. Thou wouldst dishonor me. That much is sure. Chrysothemis. Dishonor? No, I seek to save thine honor. Electra. Am I to make thy rule of honor mine? Chrysothemis. When thou art wise, then thou shalt guide us both. Electra. Sound words. 'Tis sad they are so misapplied. Chrysothemis. Thou hittest well the blot that is thine own. Electra. How? Dost deny the plea I urge is just? Chrysothemis. No, but e'en justice sometimes worketh harm. Electra. I choose not to conform to such a rule. Chrysothemis. Well, if thy purpose hold, thou own me right. Electra. It holds. I shall not swerve in awe of thee. Chrysothemis. Is this thy last word? Wilt not be advised?
Electra. No, naught is loathlier than ill advice.
Chrysothemis. Thou seemest deaf to all that I can urge.
Electra. My resolution was not born to day.
Chrysothemis. Then I will go, for thou canst not be brought to approve my words, nor I to approve thy ways.
Electra. Go in, then. I shall never follow thee. E'en shouldst thou pray me, 'tis insane to urge an idle suit.
Chrysothemis. Well, if thou art wise in thine own eyes, so let it be. Anon, sore stricken, thou wilt take my words to heart.
Exit Chrysothemis.
End of part 2, recording by Expatriate in Bangor, Maine.